It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's the E-Commerce Minute, episode 774.
These are our top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of November 30th, 2020. Black Friday. 2020 is the year of new normals due to COVID, and this year's Black Friday experience is no exception. This year's numbers tell a solemn tale of what was once the most boisterous and sometimes ridiculous kickoff event of the holiday season. According to preliminary data from Sensormatic Solutions, traffic on Black Friday at retail brick-and-mortar stores fell 52.1% compared with last year. But in the same breath, online spending surged 21.6% to hit a new record. On Thanksgiving Day, when many retailers, including Walmart and Target, closed their stores this year, traffic dropped 94% year over year. Week-to-date, traffic is down 45.2% across the U.S. The average American spent $27.50 online on Black Friday. Spending on Black Friday increased most noticeably for personal care products, up 556% year over year, groceries up 397% year over year, and pet products up 254% year over year. Many malls looked bleak, and parking lots were more empty than full across most of the country during the early hours of the morning on Friday. Some reported traffic picking up later in the day, especially at outlet and open-air shopping centers, as consumers felt more comfortable heading out. The abnormal weather also helped. Overall, consumers spent around $9 billion online on Black Friday. Adobe's estimating spending on Cyber Monday to be anywhere from $10.8 billion with a B to $12.7 billion. With a B. Did you guys do your Black Friday shopping? I didn't even know it was Black Friday.
Yes. I mean, the only reason we know because we're in the industry and right. We have to really deal right. with it. But other than that, like, I didn't even look at my email. Like, Monday morning, I came in, I was like, select all, delete.
Yeah. I basically spent Friday doing the culling of the email and then did the same thing Monday, the culling of the email. There's just so much of it. It's literally every website that I visited in the last year sent me an email, which, you know, I guess is good, especially if you're willing to spend. I was not willing to spend and it did nothing but make me unsubscribe to a bunch of these. You know, in the long run, they don't care about my little unsubscribe, but it leaves an impression when you get three emails Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from the same retailer. It's sometimes it's a bit much.
Yeah, I shopped for myself. So that's what I did on Black Friday. I bought myself one of those nice little makeup calendars, those advent calendars that have like actual things in them and not chocolate.
Not booze.
So
nice. Well played.
Advent calendar with booze in it.
Yep. I got a $500 worth calendar for $80.
Very nice. Yeah, deals to be had. I know that Amazon and Walmart obviously were running a lot of specials and Target as well. I ignored all of it because I'm trying to get into this less spending less zone. I don't know. Yeah, just not feeling it. I usually spend Black Friday usually going to a Philadelphia Flyers hockey game, but there wasn't even hockey this year. So I just completely zoned out on the whole thing.
I just didn't do it. Like, it's just, you know, as much as you get all these deals, I looked at it and I'm like, nothing is interesting anymore. Like,
and even Cyber Monday starts looking appealing because that's really when there's a lot of the gadget guys do stuff, you know, but TVs are already like $100. So I don't need a big TV. I've got all the gadgets that I need. I have all the tech that I need. And I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm just going to
keep my money. You know, online, it was a big deal. I mean, there's some stores were open. Like the only thing that really people bought in reality, like in store and they went out for is PS5, but trying to find one was always the hardest.
You can't even get them. Stores.
Right. But people went to them. Right. Other than that, like, why would you go to stores anymore? Like, is Black Friday and Cyber Monday actually a thing? You know, a lot of stores were closed on Thanksgiving, including Walmart. They closed.
Yeah, and I like that trend. I think the workers should get a day off. I just don't.
Okay. I agree.
It's, you know,
but being open on Black Friday, like this year, just makes no sense either. Like, there was no crowds. Thank God we didn't have any.
Yeah, thank God we didn't have that craziness.
I'm having like the hardest time shopping for people this year. Like I cannot I can't figure it out. But also in Pottsville this weekend, the only crowds that there were was there's this tiny little GameStop and they only had five of the new PlayStations.
PS5s.
Yeah. And there was like 20 kids in tents outside of the GameStop. I was like, they made it very clear that they only have five. Like, right. What are you guys, like, what are you going to do? But besides that, it was a ghost town.
They'll take their chances.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. That's just silliness. I mean, you can't find them anywhere. And that's, you know, that's the hottest thing.
When I was younger, the hot commodity Black Friday item our parents told us was the Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, that's right. I remember the Tickle Me Elmo phase.
People literally fist fought over
it. There's Tickle Me Bart. Anyway, next story. Tony Hsieh. Yeah. Tony Hsieh, the founder and former CEO of Zappos, who created a company totally focused on delivering happiness for its customers and employees alike, died last Friday from injuries he suffered during a recent house fire at a family home in New London, Connecticut. Hsieh catapulted the shoe company into the big leagues with a sale to Amazon and then used the proceeds of the success in a huge project kickstarting a regeneration of a rundown part of Las Vegas with tech and wider business investments. Among the innovations created under Mr. Hsieh was Zappos' policy of offering employees the option after the first week on the job to get paid to quit. Zappos has long placed a premium on its culture and knew that not everyone is cut out to thrive there. Although Mr. Hsieh stepped down as CEO last summer, his former company has continued to emphasize the kindness preached by its founder. This includes special steps Zappos has taken to connect with its customers during the pandemic with a variety of programs, including customer service for anything. Launched in April, Zappos offers customers help with information on merchants in their areas and recommendations on helpful apps to use during a lockdown. Hsieh was described as brilliant, offbeat, and to many people, often a kind-hearted person who was regularly described as a visionary. And that was not an overstatement. Growing up in the Bay Area, he sold his first company, a marketing tech firm called Link Exchange, I do remember that, to Microsoft when he was just 24 in 1998. I am old enough to remember Link Exchange. Mm-hmm. Using some of the proceeds from that, he formed a venture capital firm called Venture Frogs. One of his early investments there was ShoeSite.com, founded in 1999 by Nick Swinnem, and at a time when the latter could see a shift happening in how people were shopping for footwear, doing a lot more of it online. Fast forward, by 2009, he had sold Zappos to Amazon for around $1.2 billion with a B, a truly staggering sum for e-commerce startup at the time.
In 2009? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of money back then. Still a lot of money for many of us, but we have multiples going for things that are worth far less. So, and it, you know, that's the market, that's the bubble. But anyway, Tony Hsieh, real loss, shocking news, very sad. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't an old guy. He was 46, I believe.
Yep. He was very young, very humble, very soft-spoken, amazing guy. Had like, you know, people are like, oh, he's a business guy. He wasn't. He was really a creator and just an arts guy, really.
Right.
So I met him a whole bunch of times, really cool dude. And John Yoon and I have been to his Vegas stuff, a whole bunch of places. The man lived in the Airstream in the middle of Vegas, Nevada's desert. Like, yeah, that's all crazy.
It's easy to throw money at a project, but he threw himself into it as well. He actually lived where he was building. And that's real admirable. I mean, some people say, oh, well, that's a no-brainer. But there's a lot of guys that are just, it's easier just to write a check and to wait till it's done.
No, I mean, he built out that Vegas downtown. I mean, was destroyed for a very long time. He built it out and was all into it and gave grants to little tiny businesses to support them. Like, guy was great. I mean, besides just the Zappos way of doing things, I actually interviewed Zappos at one point. They're grueling. Like, they're even, no matter what level you come in, you can be the CEO or the chairman, you have to work every single job for a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have to go through that process.
Yeah, that's an interesting company to work for, and that's a good segue. We will talk real quickly. A couple of years ago, this was a very controversial thing. He installed a self-management system called Holacracy, which eliminated most traditional corporate hierarchy and allowed anyone to set meeting agendas. It also meant you didn't really have a boss. So this only appeals to certain people with certain personalities. So if you're good without
it,
it
worked for him because he knew how to make that happen. But for people who worked in business, they're like, we don't know what to do with this.
But yeah, because if there's a lot of people in business or just in the workforce that thrive on structure. If you were one of those people, you were not going to thrive at Zappos. Basically saying it's linear, it was like you know, if you were in one department, you could just say, I have some input on this other department. And there wasn't, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a couple of years. There was no real, there were managers, but there were, but it was very, again, it's, I'll use the word linear in their structure.
It wasn't really linear. So you basically, you have to take it into like circles, right? So say your marketing department and somebody leads that circle, mm-hmm. but in the, like you want to do, you're leading marketing department, like the department, like project, whatever that is. But then you go and lead like putting desks together, right? But you're not the leader anymore, somebody else is. So it's a very like weird way of doing it. And you put your time into different things. It works for people, I think, like more like me, where I'm like all over the place with my head.
Yeah, I was getting actually
there is strange.
I was thinking about this morning, where there's a lot of people that need like that serious structure during the day. And mm-hmm. I was like thinking to myself, what if I had a day where I could just bop from one thing to the next? And then as long as things got done and I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, like that would probably be a great way to work. Like, you know, today I really don't feel like writing scripts for a podcast. I want to put desks together. Like that would probably make me happy. I would probably thrive in an environment like that. But yeah. But my anxiety would take hold and say, but I didn't write the podcast script today.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking too.
I left something undone. Same. So.
To be fair, this was a like this thing was in there for like the last few years. It was in the beginning of it. Right. The beauty of his sort of way of doing customer service, and you know, there's stories where people sat there for 5 hours with one customer because it made sense to them, right?
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of those stories, and that really comes from actually part of that idea. Not only comes from Zappos, but Zappos took it from, what's it called, Nordstrom's, because the Nordstrom's family, remember where the story is, like somebody brought a tire and they don't sell a tire, they stole tire.
Right, yeah, right. I've made a return tire, that, even though I didn't bring this tire, I didn't buy this tire here.
It comes from that customer service world. It just happened to be online and they took it. The fun part of that is because when Amazon bought them, they brought some of that over to Amazon itself. So some of that stuff is there from paying people to leave, and there's ways that they're adjusting it. But he had a big impact on a lot of people. And if you look at people saying stuff, it wasn't like he was a great businessman. He was just a good person. Everybody like that tweeted out about him. So sad loss.
Yeah, it's a rare thing. It's a rare thing because people in business and visionaries, they get that, you know, it's like, oh, he's such a visionary. But then you realize what jerks they actually are.
Well, you take he's like the opposite of Elon, right?
Yeah, opposite of Elon. Like everybody knows Elon's like he's respected, and now what is he, the second richest man in the world, or yep. whatever it is, or yep. behind Bill Gates, whatever. He's got a pile of money, but he's a jerk. He's just an awful person. Yep. But you have to respect what he does, in that he does so much with his day, and it makes you feel like, you know, you're doing nothing with your day. You know, he's running how many companies now? And,
yeah, but Tony, you know, did as much as with his days too, and was a nice person.
Sure, but did it in a nice way. And I think there's great merit in that. And I think a lot of people can follow that example. I hope his legacy lives on, and I hope that kind of spreads, because people like that are few and far between.
Correct.
All right. Rest in peace, Tony Hsieh. Next story. AWS outage. Amazon Web Services, also known as the backbone of many websites and apps, experienced a multi-hour outage last week. The outage affected a large portion of the internet, including the web host of this podcast, and that's why our show was late on Friday.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. The service interruption began last Wednesday and lasted throughout the day as Amazon Web Services scrambled to restore function. Amazon said Thursday all services were back to normal. A notice on Amazon Web Services status page said it was experiencing problems with Kinesis, its service that processes large streams of data, causing increased error rates for a number of websites. The outage also impacted its ability to post updates to the status page. Among the services that reported issues as a result of the outage were, I don't know if this is even a complete list, but here's a list we put together. Amazon security subsidiary Ring, 1Password, Acorns, Adobe Spark, Anchor, our podcast web host, Autodesk, Affirm, Capital Gazette, Coinbase, DataCamp, GetAround, Glassdoor, Flickr, iRobot, The Philadelphia Inquirer, Pocket Radio Lab, Roku, RSS Podcasting, Target's Ship Delivery Service, and the Subway status site operated by New York City's Metropolitan Transit Authority. The Tampa Bay Times, Vonage, The Washington Post, and WNYC, DownDetector.com also showed spikes in user reports of problems with many Amazon Web Services during the day. Tribune publishing properties. Both the Baltimore Sun and the Chicago Tribune also reported errors. In a slightly funny sign of the times, one of the more interesting bits of tech affected by the outage were robotic vacuum cleaners. Quote, "I can't vacuum because US East 1 region is down," read one popular tweet from LinkedIn's top security official, Jeff Belkamp. One user replied, "Welcome to the future." The iRobot company, makers of the popular Roomba robot vacuum, acknowledged the widespread problem. An Amazon AWS outage is currently impacting our iRobot home app. You couldn't even clean your house during an AWS outage. So there we go.
That is so dystopian. Like, I don't even know. That is just so 2020. Like, a widespread problem. I can't vacuum.
Is anyone a little scared by that?
That's horrifying.
Obviously, it's a distributed service, so it could, the whole internet could never go down. That's, it's not like the old days, and AWS is an example of that. There are many zones, but just to think of the reach that AWS has, that one zone is down and takes all these companies down with it.
Yeah, I mean,
or region, they call it regions.
Yeah, but the internet goes down too. Like, that just happens. It's, although I haven't seen as bad as this one, but every few months it happens. You know, something just goes wrong. I mean, end of the day, it's not like it's, everybody's like, it's the cloud. No, it's an actual computer that's, you
know, it's the cloud. Like, it's just like, oh, it's the cloud.
It's the literal cloud.
What does that mean, literal, right? Cloud.
Right. No idea where you're talking about. Yes, it's spread out against zones, and how that all works is very complex, but still a machine. It's still a computer. Shit breaks. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, folks.
I mean, there's backups upon backups, but if you have an outage like this, something bad has to happen, which is terrifying and crazy at the same time. But on the other side of it, they did come back really quickly.
Yeah, it came back quickly. The reason I couldn't get the podcast posted in time, because oops, Thanksgiving was in the middle of it and I had stuff to do. So I was kind of mad. I was like, Wednesday morning we record. I was like, oh, I got it all edited, and I go to upload. I'm like, hey guys, is Anchor down? You're like, yeah, AWS outage. I'm like, oh, great.
The other things come up. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's the best part of it though is because so many people have it, you can see it, like Twitter pops up really quickly. You see notifications really quickly come up. So we knew that, but they fix it really, like, that's the beauty of the whole system, is that it will fix itself pretty quickly, which is nice. But
she's smart.
She's smart. The internet, she's smart.
it's not that old days when you had to replace a whole server, and that's like 3 days of work. Those days, no thank you.
Could you imagine imagine Bob handling that?
I do. I've seen it.
Yeah. I can't imagine the stress.
Plenty of times, and it's not fun.
Right.
We were working for a client one time, and they didn't use our recommendations, and they got really slammed on Black Friday. Remember that, Jan? That fun world?
Yep.
They basically were out for almost a week because they could not get their stuff running properly whatsoever.
A week. Can you imagine being down for a week in this day?
During holiday shopping season?
Mm-hmm.
This was insane. And
we should write an article about that. That's some historical stuff right there.
Yeah, it is. But that happens, like, you know, that happens every single season. Like, for us, luckily for us, you know, over the years we have shifted to what we do. We're not on the front lines most of the time because we work with larger clients where they have internal teams, but we're still responsible for a lot of things that we do with clients and making sure it's up and running and be the support there. But lucky for us, we don't have to do that 24/7 anymore.
We're not sitting there at the middle of the night switching servers over anymore.
Yeah, which is like, basically, if you know this world and you worked with these people, you kind of like cross your fingers on Thanksgiving and go, here we go.
Let's hope it holds.
especially seasons like this year, where most of the shopping is online.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we should actually look into I don't know if this is a relevant thing to even cover, but how some merchants have fared through increased traffic and things of that nature.
Probably talk to our friends at 2 p.m. or common thread. Those guys were pretty good about watching that stuff.
There we go. All right, we'll do a follow-up on that. I think that's it for this week. We'll be back next Friday to break down the week's e-commerce, tech, and retail news. And don't forget our long-form podcast, In the Ring, available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, have a great week. Stay safe, and we'll see you on the internet next Friday. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
And remember to say goodbye this week.
I know.
Say goodbye, Brittany.
Bye, Brittany.
Cool.